Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, good to have you both here, man. Good to have the entire group back.
A long time.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Questions raised about Ronnie's whereabouts and commitment to
really?
The podcast. Well, because your absence coincided with your work with our previous co-host, people were wondering if maybe you were withdrawing from us to go invest in that, and we didn't believe that to be the case, but we couldn't confirm or deny these rumors either.
Yeah, these are man. It's been a tough week. It's been a tough week for rumors. I mean, this is us and People Magazine, you know, level.
Yeah, this is tabloid stuff, Ron. Do you want to speak to that at all? I mean,
you know
do you have any statements to make?
As you well know, Big T, I have an agent, and my agent has told me to not comment on this. So I'm just going to leave it at that, and we're just going to we're going to do our podcast like we always do. And sometimes Big R has to take a brief hiatus, and that's just how we roll through it sometimes.
And speak in the third person.
The buzz around this thing is just magnificent. You know, everywhere I go.
Did you have to take the last week off and just field questions all week?
Tough. I just had to. Yeah, I couldn't even go to class. Really, I had to teach via Skype. So I'm actually just doing everything via Skype.
I can't even imagine what the students were saying. You probably have.
Oh, dude. Yeah, unbelievable.
Uproar.
I mean, you know, this is first and foremost in their minds. I mean, do I listen to the Happy Rant? Do I listen to what's the name of your other project?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't even know what the other project is.
Like what?
That's
what
how short lived it was.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, boys, Uproar. Is that the name of it?
No, that's just. No. I feel like that just sort of like kind of that just sort of brings us up to speed with the mood that's been going on over the past.
It does, man. It's a festive mood in the studio today, given that all three of us are back.
And we're such festive people, too.
Tell them about the catering. Tell them about the party we're having right now, because Big R.
Dude, the craft services, the excess, the decadence. I mean, you can imagine.
The shrimp cocktail.
I can barely speak right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this is just typical radio decadence, boys, and that would not be enabled were it not for our sponsors. So, Pipe, why don't you do a little business? Why don't you throw a little love to the people who throw love to us? And by love, I mean money.
That's right. Well, that's a love language.
It's a love language. It certainly is. Tell us about Olive Tree Bible, baby.
Yeah, and nobody supports decadence like Christian Bible software. So
that's right. When I think of decadence, that's who I think of.
Well, I mean, if you've been to their palatial offices in, I don't know, probably somewhere on the West Coast, because that's where software companies reside. I'm sure they're incredible. It's shag carpet
nuts,
on the walls,
man.
And stuff like that. So
it's like Apple in the 70s. You know, it's just crazy decadence.
Yeah, I mean, they've taken all the best from Apple and Google and Pixar and kind of put it together in Jesus' name, and now we're bringing it to you. So that's what Olive Tree does.
Wow,
there you go.
No, but to actually represent the product, maybe a tad more accurately. Olive Tree Bible Software. We've had them as a sponsor for a few previous episodes. Ted has spoken highly of them as an app he actually uses, and so this is not just for the sake of money that we're doing the sponsorship. It's something
Absolutely.
He actually uses. My dad uses it. I have it and have used it in the past, especially just for Bible reading. It's a really great, clean mobile experience. And then in terms of the broader things it can do, especially on iPad and some larger screen things, you can do side-by-side text studies. So if you're preparing a sermon or a lesson, or if you're just doing a more in-depth Bible study, you can do those. There's those kinds of features. But then they also have this substantial library of other resources, so commentaries, Christian books, including some of Ted's books. Ronnie, I don't know if your books are on there or not. Let me see. Do you want me to check, or will that hurt your feelings if they're not there?
That's exciting
way.
Live radio, Pipe.
Yeah, either
Why
way,
don't you check?
I'm completely unaffected by either discovery, yes.
Okay, well, I don't see them.
I would say probably not. There you go.
But there's a lot of people. I just searched
See,
the last
he's guarding
Martin.
His heart, Pipe. He's trying
really
to prepare
good.
Himself for
that's
it.
That's really good. Way to guard your heart.
That's a mature individual.
You're ready to be a college-age Christian woman. So
is there any higher compliment, really?
I mean, two of my books should be two of Ted's books on there as well. So that I do have that going for me, possibly.
I think it's actually more like...
Oh, Big R, you hitched your publishing wagon to a rocket ship, man. No, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Finding God in the Dark Faith, Disappointment, and the Struggle to Believe by Ted Kluck and Ronald J. Martin. Right there.
Well, there it is. Boom.
But the reason I bring these up is because unlike some other Bible softwares, Olive Tree lets you buy a la carte. So if you just want a particular book here and book there, I mean, it's like buying ebooks through Kindle or iBooks or something like that, but it all lives in the app, which means you can use them to interact with the Bible text as well. So if you are interested in this, listeners, if you go to olivetree.com, you look around, it's an incredibly easy site to navigate. It's a really clean, well laid out site. And you find something you want, so you want to download the app, you want to start stocking up your library, you will get 20% off your purchase by using the code RANT. So RANT as in happy rant, get 20% off, go to olivetree.com, check it out. Great software, especially good on mobile. And then they have this great library of resources, including books by Ted and Ronnie, so you can't miss this opportunity.
Wow, there it is. Pipe nicely down, man. That was one of your better promos.
Really nicely. I was feeling inspired today.
I don't know why you just don't have like a book promo company exclusively. Is that a thing?
I legitimately got an email from a person I went to college with, and this person, I will let the person remain genderless so as to give no clue, was questioning whether or not I actually like all the books I promote. They were wondering whether or not I was authentic.
Dude, since when is there the assumption that you are? This is business. This is the radio business.
Well, not only on the podcast, but like I push out Kindle deals through Twitter and Facebook all the time partly because I like to share books and partly because if somebody buys stuff, I make money off of that. So again, I mean, it's just, it's like a little side business, you know, I get 7% of every 99 cent ebook that somebody gets. And so, it's not a lot of money, but, I just thought it was funny because like, wow, people actually, they're actually skeptical about these things. And so I had tried to explain that if I review a book or something, that's a book that I am actually invested in. If I just say, hey, here's a deal, I'm sharing a deal. So they're not the same thing.
For a minute that you didn't love every book you've ever promoted.
And I've read all of them.
Purpose-Driven Life and all of those.
Yes. Andy's. Yeah. Well, you missed it last week. We had an Andy Stanley book, Visioneering.
I wasn't laughing at that title. I was laughing at something else funny.
We can't do Stanley on there now. I mean, that's not – am I overstepping? We can't do that, right?
I mean, we did it. We did it in your absence. If you don't want to do Stanley, you need to be involved in the show a little bit more, baby.
Ronald. Stanley is creeping through for book promos. Guys, I might have to Rachel the Hell to Evans and just step out now. I don't know.
You may have to step out and just get involved in a real, true, gritty artist's program like the one that you're doing with Trogues, right?
Yeah, I forget. What was that called again?
With Integrity. It's called Uproarious. The Stephen Altrogi Show.
Pompous Pietism, I think, is the subtitle. Something along those lines. It was a Stanley leadership book, Ronnie, and that's the way I pitched it.
Is there any other kind of Stanley book that's been released out there?
It was a postmodern novel by Stanley.
Or is it the Stanley, I don't believe the Bible is an errant book? I mean, I don't know. Which one are we on right now?
I'm so glad I brought this up. Angry Ronnie is the funnest, Ronnie.
I mean,
dude, Angry Ronnie, it's like low grade angry, but it's still angry.
I mean, what do we got? We got Bishop T.D. Jakes. We're going to promo one of his books next week. I mean,
I'm recording from his gold plated G5.
How much is his publisher paying?
Just released something new. Let's roll with him. Let's go with that. You know,
how much are they paying?
True scenario. What if T.D. Jakes, what if his people reached out and they offered just an ungodly sum of money to promo one of his trash books on the show?
Well, any sum of money from his people would be ungodly, Ted.
That's true.
It's unholy money.
Oh man, dude, do you think, serious question here? And this isn't one of the topics. I'm already going off the playbook. But do you think it's incumbent upon guys like us, and by that I mean like semi young white, semi-artistic, educated people, do we have to pretend to like hate commerce? I feel like I sense this like undertone in all my students. Like if anything's commercial, it's bad. Not. You have to hate commerce.
I mean, it's like it's easy to say that you hate commerce as commerce is what's making you able to even say that you hate commerce. It's like,
dude, right. Like I had a student today. He was like, well, I hate Spotify, but I mean, I listen. I'm like, why do you even hate Spotify? Like it's just bringing you all this free music. Like what's to hate about it? You know,
right. I mean,
I should hate Spotify because
you should hate Spotify as an artist. But this guy's just a guy. You know,
he's not an artist. Correct. Like it's not costing him any money. He's costing me money. Right.
Yeah. Right. He's just getting a bunch of free music. I don't see the downside for this guy.
Right. Because, but, you know, because when you're 19, you have to hate anything associated with the man. Right.
Yeah, exactly, man. I don't know. It's just exhausting to me. I'm tired of all of it.
We're all old enough that we've probably shaken hands with the man. We may have had lunch with the man. Like, that's just a thing we've had to make peace with to some degree. And
yeah, but you guys weren't. But Ted Pipe, like I was never one of these against the man guys because I just thought that the cliche of that was just so abhorrent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just exhausting. It's tiring, that cliche.
I never knew who the man was because anybody who is anti the man is so inconsistent because, you know, they may be anti the man, but like half of, you know, then they're going to get poor and need food stamps, which are provided by the man. So,
dude, I came from the 80s where everybody wanted to be the man. So that's how everything shifted from, you know, parents hippie generation, right? It was Reagan.
Well, and it's like with these kids, it's like your dad was the man. That's why you're in college to begin with, you know?
And you don't want to grow up and be your dad because most of us don't want to grow up and be our dads. But there, it's a little bit of misplaced angst.
Exactly. Do we have a show we're doing? Is this part of the show or?
I don't know. It's part of the show because we're talking about it. The show is whatever we're talking about.
We're ranting. Most of us are happy besides Ronnie about Andy.
Forgive me. Sorry. Yeah, well, you know, I can't get into the Stanley thing because it's just outrageous.
Dude, you're conflating this with your other show, which is way different from this in that, like, you just talk about three, like, news items. So it's,
dude,
it's completely different.
Conflating, man. But if it has anything to do with Andy Stanley, I'm out. And I think you guys know that by now.
So. It has nothing to do with Stanley.
Is that the book by Stanley, Conflating?
Conflating Leadership by Andy Stanley.
Visionary Conflating by Andy Stanley.
Conflatineering. I love it. Oh, boys. Let's get this thing back on track,
let's
man.
Let's get our hats back on, boys.
That's all right. Let's get our professional radio hats back on. We actually have some decent – we have some decent topics this week, man. Not like that's a surprising thing, but the one that really intrigued me, Pipe, that you sent along this morning was this issue of as parents, whether or not we should like be buds, whether or not we should be friends with our kids. And I think this is fascinating because of a conversation that I had with my lady this morning, with KK, about how responsibility really does sort of taint friendship. Like, our friends are our friends because we call them up and we, you know, go see movies or go out to dinner or have a coffee or whatever, but they're not the people with whom we don't have to do discipline with them. We don't have to do business. We don't have to pay bills. We don't have to do all the day-to-day crap of life, which is why it's fun to be friends. So I'm inclined to say about our kids, fundamentally, we can't be their friends because we have so many other responsibilities that involve them. But on the other hand, like, I feel like I'm buddies with my guys, man. I mean, we have fun. We do a lot of the same stuff together. We enjoy the same shows now. We listen to a lot of the same music. It's fun to share all that. So what do you guys say about this?
Well, Ronnie, you're farther along as a parent than I am. So
throw
some insight in on this.
Well, dude, okay. So I think that we've kind of got I'm with everything Big T just said, all right? So I think we've kind of gotten off track a little bit because I think what this whole like all the only name I have for my kid now is buddy kind of mm-hmm. you know kind of culture that we're in is just that it's kind of like this idea that says like the most important thing in my life is for my kid to like me. And I just know that like growing up, like my dad and my mom, they were never concerned about that. Never a concern. Mm. Never any decision they made, never a concern whether we approved or whether we liked it or not.
Sure.
And so I think what that does, you know, a good example to this whole like friend thing is, you know, you guys are going to say what you want about this, but I'm a Gilmore Girl fan. All right.
Okay.
All right. I'm just waiting for some ha-ha, but there it is. All right.
Well, I was following the if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all rule, which I normally don't. But I decided in this case I would go for it.
hype. I'm shocked. Okay, but Gilmore Girls is all about, you know, it was about this like mom in her 30s with her teenage daughter, and they were friends and they were best friends. And it's interesting because as the show played out, what happened was as soon as the daughter started doing things of which the mom should have intervened as a mother, she felt like she couldn't because they were buds. And so the mentality from the daughter was like, well, who are you to tell me? Like, why are you on my back, man? Like, why are you giving me such a hard time? Like, in other words, like relating to her as a friend, because again, that sort of authority as a mom had not been in place. And I just think that's kind of what we're asking for if our kids are just our buds, because they should be our friends on one hand, but at the same time, that can't be where the relationship stops, right? Right?
Yeah, I think I agree a lot with what you said about the pitfall of wanting your kids to like you, or at least that the pitfall of that being sort of the end game, because like I want my kids to trust me and I want them to like me, but I also know that as a parent, as an authority figure, which I have to be, I will simply be the bad guy a lot because they're going to do stuff that I have to say, you can't do that. You can't talk to people that way. You can't, you know, blah, 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 which friends don't do that. Friends don't get in there, you know, get in another friend's business. And as an authority figure say, I'm sorry, you need to go to your room now because your attitude stinks. Like that's not a friend thing to do. And so this question was interesting to me because I hear both sides of it. There's like the cultural side that's like everybody's buddies. And then there's like the crazy church parents who are like, you are not your child's friend. And I'm like, I would like to envision a scenario where when my kids are 17, 18, 25, 35, we grow into maybe not being peers exactly but being friends where we're talking about life. We're talking about ideas. We're talking about work. We're talking about experiences. But they're still coming to me as dad for advice or for counsel or because they have a problem. And so I don't feel like it has to be an either or. And I feel like if you make it an either or, like I'm just their friend or I'm not their friend, you're probably screwing up pretty bad.
Yeah, I think it has to be tipped. I think you should always be your kids' friends, but I think that can't tip into sort of an area of where you've lost your authority with them. And I agree, man, as you get older, right, you're going to be more your friend's parents than you are going to be in more of that subservient role. It doesn't mean you respect them any less. You don't give them that respect, but it definitely changes for sure.
Dude, here's a question. What if you're not inclined to be – what if you wouldn't be friends with one of your kids in real life? You know what That's I mean? Tough. What if their personalities are such that you're not – you wouldn't be drawn to them? So I think this buddy culture that you speak of, Big R, and you're so right, I think it creates an unrealistic expectation that, you know, just because this is my kid, we're going to be best buds. And for some people, it just doesn't work out that way. You know, maybe your kid's got a difficult personality. Maybe your kid just has a completely different personality. And, you know, you still love them. You still honor them. You still care for them. You still you know, share Christ with them, et cetera. But it's not this sense of, you know, this is my bud. Like we ride together all the time, you know, not like that for everybody, you know, and it's unfair to create that expectation. I think,
I think that's a really important point. That's a really great point, Big T. I got to give you that one.
Thanks, baby. Thank you, baby.
And you're welcome.
And I guess the scenario that I'm envisioning that could be because my two daughters have dramatically different personalities. And right now I find the younger one way more fun to be around.
Sure.
Because the older one is just like me. And nothing is more annoying than arguing with a younger, dumber version of yourself.
We know.
Exactly.
And then you throw in the fact that she's a girl, and so she – like things that I say get taken more personally, and it creates chaos. And so like it's hard for me to envision – being best buds with her for the next few years because I have to navigate these waters of conflict, whereas her younger sister is just this free-spirited, easygoing, funny kind of little kid, and that it's way easier to imagine. But I just have to remember it's not my job to be their best friend. It's my job to be their best dad and have as much fun as I can, but also maintain authority and try to help them figure out how to navigate life and all those things. But I can't be disappointed if – you know, in 15 years, we're not best friends as long as we still have a good a trusting relationship and they still can lean on me and call me and know that I'm there for them and all of that, because that's, I feel like that's the foundation. Anything beyond that is just sort of relational dynamics that you can't really control.
Piper, I think you just need to be, as our friend Joel Osteen would say, in whose book we're probably going to promo next week, just be your best dad. That's what I think you're doing.
Do you have a connection with his publisher? I'm going to go chase that down if you do.
Yeah, I do. I'll get you the number afterwards.
Sweet.
Dude, how much would it take for us to earnestly
quit asking that question?
How much would it take?
Because everybody can be bought. That's the problem with this.
Dude, 10 grand a piece, I would do it.
Man, come on.
But here's the thing.
Why not 20 grand then? I mean, what?
Dude, 20 grand even better.
They would have to know that if they paid us money to do that, the promo would be essentially a riff on doing things just for money. Like,
dude, it would be a modern art piece on doing things just for money.
Or it would be like, hey, do you want us to tell everybody how much we hate this book in hopes that people actually go buy the book because they're so curious now?
That's right.
Because
we hate it
so much.
We're going to follow the evangelical pattern of saying that things suck and then people going and buying them.
Exactly. Yeah.
At least reform, guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, this thing is heresy. It's the end of the world. And we put it on the bestseller list because of our angst. But I don't know. Dude, listen, Osteen, if you're listening, for 10 grand, I will read on the air a copy that you prepare. I'll read it. I'll read it with feeling, even.
Wow.
I would do that.
Is there any other way to read Osteen but with feeling?
With feeling and lots of pathos, lots of heart.
Yes.
I don't know.
And a big smile.
Lots of hair.
Boys, let's talk about something else, man. I got to set this up by telling a little story. So our oldest, speaking of being buddies with your kids, he is going to, and you guys are going to laugh, he's going to a classical school this year.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but yeah, I wasn't.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't before we started down that road.
I'm mostly familiar with the parents who send their kids to classical school and that ilk. So good.
That was honestly my biggest concern. And you know, it's been better than we thought it would be in that regard. But we were at a meeting the other night with some other parents in which one parent who was talking up front, she mentioned Halloween and she goes, "Oh, ha ha, not that any of us celebrate that." And there was much sort of like agreeable guffawing all over the room.
Nervous chuckling.
Except that, of course, we do celebrate Halloween in that we let our kids dress up and go trick-or-treating. I guess if that's what it means to celebrate Halloween, then we do celebrate it. But we've had some listener interest in us talking, sussing out Halloween, all the issues therein, why people do or don't celebrate, what we think about that. So it's getting to be Halloween time. Pipe, not that we would know, because it's still 93 degrees and blazing hot outside where we live. There's nothing in the atmosphere to suggest Halloween.
I probably won't celebrate it with my kids this year for fear that their rayon costumes will give them heat stroke and they'll die.
Exactly. Yeah, they'll just melt to their bodies.
Yeah, third degree burns from Tennessee. From purple plastic melting on them doesn't sound appealing to me.
Priest pipe, seriously, is it ever going to like turn to fall here?
This is hotter than the last couple years, so
I'm
walking around in a sweaty, angry.
Maybe dude, I was up in sure. What's I was that? Up in Michigan last week, man, and I actually got to wear a sweatshirt. It was so nice. It felt like actual fall.
Wow.
Fall.
I know.
I've heard rumors of such things.
Exactly.
Ronnie, are you guys doing a trunk or treat at your church, Ronnie?
Dude, you know what? Perish the thought. I mean, trunk or
Maybe,
treat.
What does hipster Halloween look like? Let's suss that out because whatever you're doing at your church and in your personal Halloween life, it's hipster. So what does that look like,
babe? Dude, I don't know. We just we're not really doing. We're just gonna have a party, and then our the whole downtown where our church is, all the businesses open up, and they do a trick or treat. And like we open up right next to them and hand out a bunch of candy, and so we're just part of the program.
And nice,
do you hand out tracts too?
No, we don't, because we haven't written our tracts yet, guys. We haven't written our tracts. So I'm not going to be hanging out chick tracks, but we just hand out really good candy. We actually hand out toys too. What about that?
Wow, dude. So
we just go
now, like real toys or like hipster, like woodcut toys. You know what I mean?
No,
like leather goods.
Toys, like on December 26th, we get everybody together. We get a team together, and they start every day for like 2 hours a day. So they start carving out toys to prepare.
Yeah, that's good, baby.
First, yeah, that's good.
So that's really
right
good.
Right now, the count is up to 3,267, and we just need 200 more, and we'll be ready to go. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Baby, that's outstanding.
Boy, the kids must love you.
But, dude, yeah. I'm telling you, trunk or tree, like, explain the fun in that one. It's like, all right, so here's what we do, kids. Like, we have you come to the church parking lot. We park the cars in a circle. We open up the trunks. And what you do is you go in a circle pretending like we're drug dealers and we're, like, giving you candy out of our bags. I mean, like, who came up with that idea? Because I don't know.
Dude, it's funny. I just don't even see the logic. Is the logic pipe that it's too dangerous out in the neighborhood to go to some stranger's house to knock on the door for candy? So we're bringing it in house, as it were.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, because I mean, I feel like the people who came up with it are probably the same people who use phrases like "hug on you" and "love on you," which makes me think that there's something sort of inherently church creepy about it. It's either just this completely, it's not safe out there, or it's like that's a pagan holiday, so we're going to change one syllable, and all of a sudden we've sanctified it, even though we're doing the exact same thing.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
But that syllable is the difference between pagan and holy holiday.
Absolutely, it is.
Now, do you guys know anybody who does Reformation Day stuff?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay, check this out. So I got friends that go to a tiny, you know, super, super uber reformed church in my old hometown. And they do a pin the 95 thesis on the door instead of pin the wheel on the donkey. So
yeah,
that's what they're doing in 4 weeks.
Dude, there's a little movement afoot in my church even. There are a few people who want to do such
in the
things.
95 thesis on the Wittenberg door. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Wittenberg. Yeah, get
sorry,
it right.
Sorry. I was thinking.
That's okay. I want to hear the V.
Spelled with a W. I would assume it was a W, but it's not.
No, I know. Yeah, there's some of that. And there's also some like, you know, come dressed as your favorite hero of the Reformation, which I mean, how do you delineate between which
it's
guy
everybody
you are.
Wearing like brown dresses. It's like that's dudes right. wearing brown dresses. Yeah,
do you look shabby and like that's a filthy bathrobe? Good start.
Yeah.
Like I can't tell. Are you a shepherd or are you Martin Luther? Like,
are you a shepherd or are you Martin Luther or are you just a hipster with a long unkempt beard?
See, that's like hipsters don't need to dress up like anything for Halloween because they already look like, oh, that's a 1920s newsboy. Oh, look, a lumberjack. That's a that's a dock worker. Like they already have costumes every day.
An ironic dock worker.
Yeah,
so like everybody in my church just doesn't even have to get changed for Halloween.
Yeah, they just need to go pull out like the implement. So like, oh, dock worker needs a gaff hook. That guy needs a stack of papers. Like that guy needs like a rake. Like that's what they need. And ta-da, you know, they have to put down their coffee and pick up their rake, and all of a sudden they have a costume.
Piper, it wouldn't be a rant without us asking what you did in the Piper household at Bethlehem Baptist.
Ron, great question. I love it.
Yeah. It's
let's hear it. Let's get the shepherd's pouch.
The shepherd's pouch, Halloween hysteria
right now again. What did you do?
My parents never kind of let us participate, but it wasn't like an you are not doing this. It was we're not going to take you. But if I found my own means to go trick-or-treating, they were like, all right, whatever. So there's a few years I went with friends. There was one year we had a blizzard. I think it was like 1990 or 91. We had like 14 inches of snow on Halloween night.
Wow.
Which made trick-or-treating incredible because nobody was out. So I would just go door-to-door. I went like three blocks, and everybody would just take their bowl of candy and dump it in my bag and turn their porch light off because they just wanted – because they just wanted to chill out, and they're like, oh, we can't go anywhere. There's 14 inches of snow. So I came home with, like, two pillowcases full of candy in two or three blocks worth of trick-or-treating. Yeah. But there was a couple years they would do a – I don't know if they called it a fall festival or what. I don't recall the name, but they would do it at the church, and everybody was would come, and it was like dress as your favorite Bible character. So it was every
cliche. They called that a harvest – they called that a harvest festival.
It's possible. I don't recall there being real harvest decorations, but I mean it was like bobbing for apples and all this stuff. There was candy involved and like – we would go dressed as David and Goliath or, you know, whoever. And
I mean, how does David look? How do you distinguish David between like Hezekiah or like Joseph?
People say, who are you?
And you say, I'm David. Like you're just wearing a bathrobe as a child. I mean, instead
of
as an adult.
Do you carry like a slingshot? I mean, does that help? Yeah.
Slingshot or like a plastic
ready
sword,
skin, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, you a harp and lyre. You carry sheep around on your shoulders. I don't know. I mean, there's just
carry a giant guy's head that you've lopped off after you've just killed him in battle.
Can you imagine? Like that should have been legit. Like,
dude, that'd be fresh. Get
you
like a get
been
like
allowed
a,
to do that, but you probably weren't.
You go, as
dude, get like a mannequin's head and lop it off and carry it around.
And then, if you're Judas, you carry 30 pieces of silver.
Nobody was allowed to be Judas. Let's come on.
Calm down, boys, relax.
Not Judas Priest.
Nobody was allowed
Judas
to be
Priest.
Judas
Priest. Yeah, exactly.
Who would be the best Bible character to go as? Like, or the most, maybe the most out of place?
I guess like if you were a brave dude and you were a teenager, you could go as John the Baptist and wear like just like a diaper with like, you know, like goat hair coming off of it and like nothing else.
Or you like wear the shirt up over your head and carry your head in your arm and you go as John the Baptist post-exile.
Oh, dude, that's dark.
It'd be like a take on David and Goliath.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really dark, man.
Yeah. I think going as a couple and going as like Samson and Delilah would be an interesting one because it's just, oh, that's way out of bounds. Good job, guys. I mean, that's...
Or just go as, like, Ananias and Sapphira and have, like, I don't know, like a knife sticking out of your heart or
just
something.
Just periodically fall over.
You know, because you can't go as the witch. Like, you know, you only hear about the Witch of Endor. Nobody was allowed to be the Witch of Endor, obviously.
Yeah, I'm Jezebel. This is Ahab, you know.
Yeah, not happening. Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun, though.
Yeah. Halloween, man.
Have you guys ever gone to an adult Halloween party, like where the adults?
Oh yeah, dude. When I was in my 20s, like almost everybody would have one of those, like once in a while.
I mean, those are.
I think we hosted one.
Those are essentially pornographic parties now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, like not in our circles, but like,
quick backpedal, Ted, faster.
Not in church circles,
but I'm just saying, like, if you're growing up going to Halloween parties when you hit like your teenage years, I mean, like,
dude,
the
that's
costumes
true.
Are just insane.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
It's basically like, oh, you dress like a business person all week long. Now you're a prostitute. Doesn't matter which version of it. You're a nurse prostitute. You're a –
Dude, remember in like the late 90s or early 2000s, like Lord of the Dance, like Michael Flatley?
Oh. I went,
KK and I went as that at one point.
Funny.
What else, man? I think I went as Bono one year. I had like a guitar and a shirt that said, "Kiss me, I'm Irish."
Which is ironic, given your take on U2 a week or two ago.
Yeah, I hate U2. I have no use for U2.
Oh, that must have been during my 2 month hiatus.
Yeah. What else, man? Did you guys do adult Halloween parties? And if so, what did you go to? What did you go as?
I have not dressed up for Halloween since I was maybe 13 or 14 years old. And
yeah, likewise, never been one.
Never an adult Halloween party. This fascinates me.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not necessarily anti-adult Halloween parties. I've just never been invited by people who I was like, oh, those are people it'd be really fun to go look like an idiot around.
Dude, remember that song in the 90s, I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt?
Yes, yes. Right Said Fred.
Yes. I went as Right Said Fred one year.
Wow.
Right Said Ted. Yeah. I know.
I take it back, guys. I actually threw a Halloween party, an adult Halloween party one time.
Did you really?
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
What did you go as?
To be honest, man, I don't really remember. I don't know if I dressed up because I was like doing all the food and all that.
If you're the host, you get like an exemption.
We threw one time
and everybody came dressed as me.
I was actually going to make that suggestion if Ronnie ever throws another one where people can pick different hairstyles from his different eras.
People can pick a different
it's like,
Ronnie Martin
it's like, yeah,
era
like
and come dressed as that.
1995 Ronnie, 2001 Ronnie. Just like you could – and people, you can just go on YouTube and find these things. And
guys, you know what? I'm just going to lay this out. I, I would be happy to throw just a crazy Halloween bash this year if I thought anybody would show up. I mean, I'd be all about it. I'd be all
dude,
about
I would go.
The party of the year, if I knew anybody would come, I would do it.
Dude, what if we had Live in Louisville at your house, which is not in Louisville, and had it as a Halloween party?
If you guys want to drive up, we'll even allow fans to come in. We will do it up if that's what we want to do. Live on Halloween.
We better plan dude, it fast and considering that's like 3 weeks away.
Oh, that's not a problem. That is not.
Dude, and listen, people have to come dressed as us.
Absolutely. That's the price of admission.
That's the price of admission.
$25 on top of that for a ticket, obviously. But
yeah, you have to have a distinctive Happy Rant cast members look.
Yes.
And you have to bring a handcrafted good of some variety involving leather, carved wood, or quinoa.
That's right. You have to have proof of your hipsterness.
You have to have proof that you've listened to this program at least one time.
Yeah, if you can't quote at least two inside jokes, get out.
Right.
Man.
Maybe what we do at the door. Like, you got to pay cash. You got to, like, have something that you have to have some craft, something to give us. And you have to
produce a quinoa product.
Absolutely.
Or a T.D. Jakes book.
Nice. Or an Andy Stanley book. Well, no, that's what we're going to use for the bonfire that night.
Oh, Judas, dude. Judas right. Priest. Pipe, what was our third topic, man? I've forgotten.
Clowns.
I know this isn't very professional radio of me.
Yeah, but that's all right. No, everybody needs to pick me up sometimes. Clowns and the
– Oh, yeah, clowns. Let's just go like
– I suppose the topic is really more like the rise of the clowns because there's a terrifying trend going on. It's absurd.
It's crazy. Speaking of dressing up, you know,
and adults,
let's just go like 2 minutes on this. Yeah. Let's go a couple minutes on this, man. We'll close the show with this. But there are – just to set it up, and I know this because I need some deep – show prep a minute or two before we went on the air, and I read one article about it. But there's people like dressing up as clowns and like harassing other people. That's the sort of the gist here, is it not?
It's mostly adults dressing up as clowns and harassing children, like trying to,
which is so screwed up.
Trying to lure so children into the woods and hovering around elementary schools and stuff.
Well, dude, we have a police log, which is the funniest thing you've ever read. Small town, and they list all these crazy things like man stole $2 out of my glove box yesterday, kind of stuff. So recently, last week, I'm not kidding, guys. It literally said clown sighted at haunted tunnel. But like there's a place in town called the Haunted Tunnel, like Haunted Tunnel, Ohio, right?
Dude, I mean, all right. So it's known year round as Haunted Tunnel. Like
I didn't know that. Like, I mean, it could have said this, you know what I mean? Like it's an actual address, like clown spotted at Spooky Ditch. You know, like that's like like as if that's an actual.
Like you could get mail at Haunted Tunnel, Ohio, you know, in the zip code.
Right. And like, and so like when we were cracking up about it, we're asking our friends, and they're like, oh yeah, Haunted Tunnel. Not the Haunted Tunnel. Or yeah, that one Haunted Tunnel that 1 year. It was like, oh yeah. Haunted
tunnel.
Definitively.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, okay. And then there was another thing like just a couple days ago, which was, at one of the elderly care homes, there was a clown spotted staring in the window at one of,
Judas, dude.
At some of the patients.
Yes.
And they literally had to like get all the patients and bring them into like the common room because everybody was like scared to death. So like this clown thing is real. But you know what I was telling Pipe? Here's what's so crazy about clowns. I was telling Pipe off the air that like, dude, like maybe this was the case for you, Big T. But like growing up, like clowns were not scary when I was growing up. They were like happy and like, hey, look, I'm going to a birthday party. Oh, yay, a clown. You know what I mean? Like at some point they like crossed over to the dark side and they became like evil, scary, like wicked characters. But like when I was growing up, like clowns were like, it was like Ronald McDonald. They were happy. Like you liked clowns.
Our church had a clown named Bobbles who came to every single one of our harvest festivals. And he would make balloon animals and like honk his nose and ride a unicycle and stuff.
Clown pipe? What's a church that? Clown?
Yeah.
Baby Big R, have you ever heard of the church clowning thing? Like that's a thing.
Dude, no, I've never heard of that. That's insanity.
That's literally a thing. Like, I knew somebody at one point who did this.
Yes, I mean,
it's nuts.
This guy was like he worked as like a, I don't know what he is, like sales or customer service or something during the week, but then like on weekends he would do exactly what you're describing. He would go to people's parties. You could book Bobbles the Clown, and he was at every church, like he was at Vacation Bible School in our fall things, like it makes a little bit of a difference if you know the person behind it, but it's funny because in retrospect I'm now like, wait, was he crazy? Was that guy a serial killer?
Well, this
probably was.
That's the thought. That's, well, I know his family. Like, they're a good family.
When did it change, though? Was it because of Stephen King's It, you know, book, movie? I mean, like, when did clowns become, like, this like, terrorizing menace from, like, the other world?
I think that, like, planted seeds, and then the internet just blew – because, you know, the internet accelerates any trend of opinion. And so if one person shares that they have a paranoia, all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, yeah, me too.
And oh, yeah, I have that. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like – and then it just sort of spreads. And then, you know, you find all these creepy pictures. And so, like, this is one of those things that – so I saw a story from North Carolina where they showed pictures of clowns. And they're in, like, wife beaters and jeans, but then, like, clown makeup and the frizzy hair thing. Like, they look terrifying. They're standing kind of at the fringe of these woods. And it says, you know, like, clowns in Greenville, North Carolina, trying to lure children into the forest. And then there was a reported sighting near an elementary school near the suburbs of Nashville. And they, like, they had the school on lockdown, and they had to, like, send a word to parents.
They were hipster clowns, though, in the suburbs of Nashville. They were, like, vintage clowns.
Well, the suburbs are where the rich yuppies clothing. Live. The downtown area is where the hipsters live. And then I just saw an hour before we recorded that where I used to live in Chicago, there's this whole area called the Prairie Path, which is like hundreds of miles of really nice, like groomed paths for running and biking. And there's like clowns hanging around the Prairie Path scaring joggers and stuff. And
it's an epidemic now. It's an epidemic.
Would anybody question somebody who just clocked a clown? Like, if a clown pops out of the woods while you're running,
if anybody pops out of the woods when I'm running, they're getting clocked.
I know. Can you just beat the everything out of them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're a clown. You go and you terrorize, or you pop out on somebody to scare them. I mean, do you expect to keep living that long by doing that?
Seriously, man.
Like, that's the kind of
dude, especially in Chicago where everybody's all like raged up about the traffic anyway, man. Yeah. Somebody's going to beat you to death.
Or in Tennessee where people carry like six shooters to the grocery store.
Dude, exactly, man. In Tennessee, yeah, exactly. The guy's going to pull out his Colt 45, man, and regulate. Again, you know?
Like, I'm the only guy living in my town that's not a concealed carrier. Probably
dude, that's not strapped to the gills right now, man.
Not a great idea to dress up as a clown and scare some dude.
Seriously, man.
No, I mean, where we live, I would be afraid to, like, if somebody had a flat tire and I, like, pulled up behind them to see if I could help, I'd be afraid of startling them for fear of them shooting me.
Dude, seriously,
I'm definitely
not,
like, if I'm a clown, like, what are you doing? Some dad is just going to wait by the elementary school and just start blazing away. It's going to happen. And yeah.
Pipe, when you were growing up, up in Minneapolis, man, did you guys get to WGN? Did you get that station on TV? Do you remember Bozo the Clown? You remember that show, or are you too young for that?
I know of Bozo the Clown. I don't remember watching it, though.
Dude, see, I grew up watching Bozo the Clown, man. And I tell you what, yeah, that was in the pre – that was before clowns got evil and dark. But, man, as a kid growing up in, like, that area, you would have killed to be on Bozo the Clown. That show was amazing.
Yes.
That show was – and you get to throw, like, the little ping pong balls in the bucket and win prizes, like games. It would have been unbelievable, man.
You know,
that was the.
You guys asked who made Scound or like who kind of turned the tide. I'm pretty sure it was Scooby Doo. I don't.
Oh, okay.
Because that predates Stephen King's work on It. I'm pretty sure because there's a few different Scooby Doo episodes where they recognize sort of the inherent darkness of clowns.
You know, interesting.
Because it's easy to hide behind the smiling face, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like the big pointy teeth, and they get freaky. But yeah, so I think we can probably blame Scooby-Doo for planting seeds in current millennials who are now terrified of clowns.
Mm. Interesting.
Okay.
So,
wow, guys,
I think Ronnie needs to answer one more question, and that is, will you have a clown at your trunk or treat this year?
We do vintage clowning at Substance, yes.
What is vintage clowning?
Vintage clowning, hipster clowning.
Yeah, it's just how clowns look back in like 1885.
So it's more like a jester.
It's how clowns look back in the 80s, the 1880s.
The 1880s, yes. Our favorite decade.
Right. Where they had very little makeup and just really baggy, like, kind of costume. And
they were just funny guys.
They're just funny guys, right? They're just funny guys with a little makeup on.
They're just funny, jovial guys.
Lots of tights.
Yeah, some
brightly colored tights.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. They just look like, you know, men who love yoga.
So hipsters.
Right. Vintage clowning. Yes.
Yeah, vintage clowning.
On that note,
we've done what we always do on this program, which is to wander to and fro throughout these topics. I feel like we were pretty insightful today, not to like pat ourselves on the back prematurely for this ep, but I feel like there was a lot of insight. Do you boys feel good about it? I mean, is this an ep that do you walk away from this episode and go, we did some good radio today?
Yeah, we delivered, I think. I feel good about this.
I feel like we did too.
I'm still finding my feet. It's been so long since I've been here. I'm finding my feet.
Yeah. You're just kind of getting to know us again, Big R. You know, right. I mean, getting to know who we are.
To get back in the groove, you know.
Yeah.
That's all.
Dude, you're just organizing all your conference lanyards there in your studio and unpacking and, you know.
I am. I'm doing that as we speak, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Stretching all those lanyards out. They would wrap around the globe twice. You know, that sort of thing.
Entire table just dedicated to my lanyards. It's called the lanyard. Table.
The lanyard table. You're going to open a hipster bar in Ashland and just call it the lanyard.
Right, or I might just open up a lanyard store, just call it vintage lanyarding.
Dude, vintage handmade.
No, you need to start a lanyard craft line and put it up on Etsy. Like things that can be made out of lanyards. I bet you could legitimately make money off of that.
Like leather, like vintage old leather lanyards.
Like mittens knitted out of lanyards or, I don't know, dog leashes because everybody loves dogs. Dog leashes made out of lanyards. I mean, there's a market there.
Dude, repurpose lanyard stuff.
All right, let me get on that. I'll report next week.
I mean, it's like making a table out of a barn door. You know what I mean? You're just making something out of the lanyard. And you know what it is? It's environmentally conscious too. So you're doing your part.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Instead of putting that lanyard in a landfill, you're making something beautiful out of it, Big R.
Yeah, I got point taken, guys. So I'm going to get right on.
Good. See, iron sharpening iron, man. That's right. Lanyard sharpening lanyard.
Guys, I got it. I got it. I will get on it.
It's all about commerce. You read that Andy Stanley book, and you'll be a lanyard art millionaire by the time.
You know what?
Next.
I'm out. So I'm just going to finish up the program now.
Ronnie Evans, do you have a vision for this? Because the book Visioneering would really help you embody the vision for your lanyard business.
You know what? Somehow, in the providence of God, He kept me out of those last two episodes, boys. So let's just leave it at that. Let's pretend to be friends.
He kept me out of the last two episodes by making me travel to conferences. But, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, baby.
He does. And let's be honest, I would have rather been home being on the episode. So there we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, boys, we have things to do. We have visions to cast in our various places. So I'm going to sign us off. We have wandered to and fro. Until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared to You podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared to Who is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.